these machine centers can cost hundreds of thousands, if not a few millions to tens of millions of dollars or more to replace these components. So it's not something you just wake up one day and say, I'm going to get rid of half the plant and replace all those machine centers out there. Maybe right. over the next 10 or 15 years, you might, but not in the next six months.
That's a great point, Dino, because from the IT folks, we're sitting here going, hey, it's going to be $250,000 for another, you know, virtual server rack or $500,000. And the OT guys are kind of like, okay, that's nothing.
Hey, I'm Dino Busalaki, the Chief Technology Officer and OT guy at Velta Technology.
Hi, I'm Jim, the COO and IT guy.
And I'm Craig Duckworth, President and CEO.
You're listening to the Industrial Cybersecurity Insider Show.
In each episode, we bring you the inside scoop on the world of industrial cybersecurity.
We talk about everything you don't know.
That you should know. So plug in and power up. The show's about to get started.
Hi, my name is Dino Busalaki, and I'm the Chief Technology Officer for Velta Technology. I'm one of the co-founders. And today we have Jim Cook.
Hi, I'm Jim Cook, the COO here at Velta Technology. What are we talking about today, Dino?
We're going to talk about one of those IT terms we hear a lot of. It's called zero trust. And how would you apply that to an operational technology environment? And for those of you that are wanting to know what operational technology or OT environments are, that's the plant floor. It's where connected physical systems are. So today we're going to tell you what we witness and what we see in that space for organizations who are trying to implement zero trust in between IT and OT. What have you seen?
Well, you know, zero trust, and we've all been in this business long enough. There's always, you know, there's the next magic wand that's going to come around the corner, right? Go back to things. Just remember when cloud was coming out. Cloud was going to fix everything. Cloud was our savior. And, you know, people could go out there and, you know, just stand in front of an audience and say, cloud, 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 and people would throw money in. You're kind of seeing it today with the AI stuff, right? You can stand up and say AI, 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 and people will throw money at you. Zero trust isn't quite there, but you know it's in there. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking it. I'm just, you know, it's a great framework, right? It's a great conceptual framework, but you know, when you're trying to apply it to an environment that doesn't quite fit, like the OT environment, either you understand it or you're just using the zero trust as a crutch. Because quite frankly, it's just the legacy environment. It wasn't designed. It was never kept up to the capabilities that exist on the IT side in the devices and the applications and the software and the communications that exist to support a zero trust concept doesn't exist in the OT world.
Well, I'm going to do the history walk, right? I mean, okay. All this gray hair up here gives me the authority to speak about this stuff because I lived it back when we didn't even have firewalls, right? Back in the day, all we had were ACLs, access control lists, for those of you that want to know what that is. And from there, we went to stateful inspection firewalls, and we were only controlling traffic at the MAC / IP level, layer 3 of the OSI model. And then as we got into the mid-2000s, we had these new really cool tools coming out from firewalls that were next-generation firewalls that could actually control things at the application layer, right? Layer 7 of the OSI model. Most zero-trust implementations are still tracking down at that ACL layer 3 IP address control. And the challenge with zero-trust, one, is industrial protocols aren't necessarily in the portfolio of these firewall technologies. Now, there are some that are doing a really good job of adding them in, right? We have, you know, Palo Alto is doing it, and you have Cisco that's doing it, and you have Fortinet that's putting that stuff in. Complicated solutions to try to build a zero trust framework between IT and OT, which is great because on the IT side of things, the world is very standardized for them. The plant floor, in many cases, is a melting pot with a wide range of automation technologies that come from all over the world that are deployed for all these different machine centers that are out there that are making whatever kind of widgets clients are making today. So with that being said, it becomes a real challenge for zero trust at that stage, right? And then to the next point, and Jim, I'll let you touch on this, is those who believe that the VPN technology they've implemented is sufficient to get into that industrial control system space and what the challenges of that present for Zero Trust.
Yeah, and that's where, as you said, the IT, it fits nicely. And right now we're specifically talking about that network environment where you want to create the zones. And it fits nicely into an IT environment, as does the other major pillars from the IT standpoint. But it doesn't. And using your example of that remote access, right? So now, even if I've created this zone of trust inside the OT environment, where I think I'm unlimited. Well, what we find all the time is this remote access we've talked about before that's hidden. There's hidden networks, there's hidden remote access points. And so now you're creating these walls and there's doors that already exist, right? There's doors that already exist that you don't know about. So, you know, suddenly now you're creating this level of complexity to manage from a zero trust model in the OT. And are you really getting the benefit out of that when you have these elements of the legacy communications that are in there, which, you know, VPNs of some sort that are either device driven or PLC software driven, or maybe they're on the HMIs, whatever that might be. So now I've created a zone, but I'm which is supposed to protect you, but it's like a Swiss cheese zone in that case, right?
Well, and then there's the false belief that those machines are not connected, right? How often do we hear that? We hear that all the time, right? That these machines are not connected, you know, and why would that create a challenge for the zero trust? Well, one, those machines are connected. And in many cases, we find some level of VPN technology embedded into that machine center down there. So the traffic coming in from the outside to the down into that environment is invisible. All you get is destination and source headers. And as far as IT is concerned, that path is allowed. And they have no idea what the payloads are going back and forth between that machine center and the third party who has gained access into that environment, right? And for those who don't have a really good strategy for remote access into the control system environment, they end up punching a lot of different holes in their firewall, opening up ports for these various applications that are running down in that space, right? Which is another source of vulnerability from a risk perspective, from a cybersecurity perspective, because now the firewall is drifting more towards a Swiss cheese approach in order to protect that environment because of all these various applications. Again, layer 7, right? Next generation firewall, trying to track protocols. I need to open up all these various ports because I got SCADA applications down there that need these ports. I got historians that need these ports. I need DCS systems. I got engineering tools, all of these different things that I need access to, requiring to do those firewall modifications to change the policies around them.
And even if they're doing the firewall, and some of them have some good firewall technologies, you still need to get down to ACLs and control that network environment. Create the zones, reduce the blast zones. You got to get trusted to get into a zone. And even if we're talking about creating these zones, now with all the doors coming in and out, are you really getting the value of all the work you're putting in? And what could potentially happen, and this is called out actually in the NIST document, which one of that NIST released through the 80. Yeah. That one, they call it out. I think they should call it out in bold, but it's about the response. Are you going to be creating more work for yourself because you're going to have to respond when things change? So let's say you do lock it down. You don't realize they need remote access. Suddenly that machine's down. Does that IT organization that created the zero trust, are they set up with the capabilities of responding in the manner that a production floor would need, right? They don't. We know that they don't, which is why the world separated in the first place. But are you going to get, is there going to be latency where the plant floor is saying, hey, this doesn't work. You've locked it down. I've got a machine down. I got to get it fixed. Now it doesn't work. And then you run around for 2 or 3 days to find the right guy that set it up in your IT zero trust organization. So you could be creating this work load, even if you do lock it down properly and you can get beyond all the Swiss cheese stuff, which is still a lot of work, then you lock it all the way down, but you don't have that capability of response to a production need that is normally built into the OT world. But I can tell you from experience, it's not built into the IT world and that IT support that would be controlling the dials in that case.
Well, right? And the IT world's well-defined, right? I mean, that's the difference. You have an environment from an IT perspective where they've got a pretty good handle, generally speaking, of their applications, the application flows, how they want to control segment traffic amongst the different business units within their environment. They don't have any of that for the plant floor. And so it's easier for them to come in and try to lay something on top-down type of approach to implement a zero trust. In the OT world, you got to do a bottom-up. Again, melting pot. You have a wide array of different technologies and protocols and systems within those control system environments. And we came up with a new term, I guess we could call it a new term, and I'll let Jim call this that. But normally we find flat networks in the OT space. And sometimes we run across what, Jim?
Super flat.
Yep. And super flat. And this is serious, right? Because
it is serious.
Because super flat to us, normally in flat networks that we find, at least the control is still underneath the PLC, not exposed to the overall plant network per se, right?
Drives, sensors,
right. Robots, right. Servos, right. All flow right. meters, right? All of these yep. kinetic physical assets are usually always separated at IO interlock for you control guys out there and gals out there. You know what that is. Super flat means that stuff is on the same network as the business system network. Right. This is a very bad thing, right? And we've seen this. And so now the question is the only way to solve that problem and to start segmenting that environment is from the bottom up. Because you got to start creating trust buckets within the plant of saying, I got to get these flow meters over here away from that plant network that's got email and internet access on it and Google surfing sites and whatever else is being surfed on over there, and get it away from the stuff that I use to make goods. And so if you have an environment like that, zero trust is never going to help you at this stage. You got a long way to go to even try to solve that problem. And so zero trust, in my book, you have to start thinking at it from a different approach, and that is a bottom-up approach.
Yeah, can I call it the bucket approach?
Maybe the bucket approach. I like the bucket approach.
Because I use really technical terms in this, right? The super flat and the bucket approach. But yeah, that's what we've talked about, because and this gets to where you can get complexity. If you're trying to do it top down and apply this over a zero trust architecture, and let's just stick with this networking zone issue with the trust in the zones, you know, we still have the identity and the device and all the other things behind it. But just if you're trying to do with the zones and you're trying to do it over the top, you're going to have to start at the bottom to understand, well, what is in a zone? What is it trying to do? What is it supposed to be doing? And that's where you and I have been talking about the bucket approach, right? We got a bucket of stuff. Right. And that's in our super flat network. And it could be flat. It doesn't have to be the super flat network. The normal flat could still be an issue. But what we want to do is say, okay, first of all, most companies don't even know what's in that bucket, right? And a bucket, for my technical bucket term, is the facility or the shop floor, right? And they're in a bucket, and we can even call it a zone. But we're going to look at it and finally get visibility inside that bucket. And then we're going to say, okay, we got that myriad, the melting pot of stuff you referred to, right? And we're going to say, let's reach in there and let's grab something out of the bucket. And now let's put it over here in the safe bucket, right? And now that's the bottom up approach to trying to really get to what I would consider the, you know, what zero trust is ultimately trying to do. It's just a different way of attacking it, because you have to realize we're in a different world. We're now living with cats or dogs, one of the two, right? They're different. They're kind of the same, but they're different. But let's start doing that. What is this one? This machine is unique. This machine comes from Italy. We don't have any other machines like that, but this machine's exposed. So what do we need to do uniquely to address that? The ball out of the bucket, and let's put it in its safe bucket. Now let's go back to the big bucket, right?
Right. Well, and for our IT listeners out there, you know, trying to approach this with, you know, network access control. And for you, it goes at Fortinet, for our ICE, or any of those IT tools, to be able to take that and drift that technology down to the plant floor is like, you know, putting a 16-year-old behind the wheel of a Formula One race car. They take out a long way to go to be able to drive that car. And right. putting that level mm-hmm. of complexity and technology down at that level is a non-starter. One, the cost would be ridiculous. Two, you don't know enough about the environment to be able to apply, again, that top-down approach into that space. So you have to look at different strategies on how you start segmenting that network without being disruptive. And you right. can't take the plant down for weeks or months to try to figure several months or whatever to figure mm-hmm. this out. You can't do that. So mm-hmm. your windows are small to be able to get in there. So you got to be very tactical and strategic when it comes to how am I going to isolate and or segment these devices without technology that's expensive and costly. Again, back yeah. to the 16-year-old behind a right. race car.
Right. Yeah, and it's an evolution, right? It took decades and decades to get yeah. here, and it's going to take some time to get out of it. But to your point, well, what's the alternative, right? But this is an alternative. There's some really cool technologies we've seen in how they approach that from the defensible architecture standpoint that can get you to this. It's just waving the magic wand of zero trust. Don't worry, we're going zero trust. It is always a concerning for me because then it's about belief. But what is it actually happening behind the scenes, right? Which is where we live, right? Trust, but right. verify, which is why you brought up that remote access. How many times do we hear, no, we don't have remote access. Not allowed in our environment. Well, right there. Yep. There it is. And there it is. And they're yep. like, oh, is that what it's doing?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's what it's doing. So, you know, because that bucket of stuff is so unique, and companies have multiple buckets of stuff, right? And a bucket like this plant's bucket of stuff is different than that plant's bucket of stuff. And yep. I don't care if I got 12 plants making the same thing. I got 12 different buckets of stuff.
Yep.
And
yep.
I can't you'll just have say, here's the rule. This is what we're going to do. And it's you got to look at each bucket of stuff.
There's a lot of competing initiatives within these manufacturing environments to improve their ability to operate and to be safe and to replace old assets, right? Capital plans right. that they've got to put together to determine, you know, because these machine centers can cost hundreds of thousands, if not a few millions to tens of millions of dollars or more to replace yeah. these components. So it's not something you just wake up one day and say, I'm going to get rid of half the plant and replace all those machine centers out there. Maybe right. over well, the next 10 or 15 years, you might, but not in the next six months.
That's a great point, you know, because from the IT folks, we're sitting here going, hey, it's going to be $250,000 for another, you know, virtual server rack or $500,000. And the OT guys are kind of like, okay, that's nothing.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead and that's still going to be cheaper to replace your servers than it is to, you know, this bending machine or stamping machine that I have out there. I do want to touch on a couple other things right there important because we're kind of really in the zero trust focused around the zones and the network environment, which there is, you know, the concept's the same. The approach needs to be different. But other areas, and one of the big key things that it needs to be considered when you get into the OT environment is that whole identity management stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Because the idea is that, okay, now we got to sign on. Well, I mean, how many PLCs do you have, right, that have MFA on it that tie to some sort of LDAP server or your domain control? None. They don't. Well, I think Rockwell, some of the new ones, but it's still expensive yeah, to get there. But what's yeah. the majority that's out there? And what do? They probably put a shared password on it. So now,
or just an admin guest password, you know,
if they change it at all. So suddenly now this just one password allows you not only as identity into a PLC, but it allows you into an entire environment with not only the code that's on there, but the hardware and the application and the data, which is again, so that in alone just doesn't fit that device doesn't work in the zero trust model. The other thing that I want to say is even though those are the PLCs was the example, let's just talk the Windows machines out there on the floor for the identity for zero trust. How many times do we see operators using unique passwords and unique IDs on the Windows HMIs? None. Doesn't happen.
Those operators are looking for an excuse to go to the break room because it's like, I don't remember my password. You got somebody to come log this machine in. I'll be in the break room when you're ready to log it in and get it running. I've seen
right. It. So, you know? So yeah, I mean, and that's what happens. They're like, you know, it's just an admin. They might have one shared password, but so suddenly identity is completely out the window on Windows machines alone. And there are real reasons why they do that. And if you spend any, I always get a kick of the IT guys are always, hey, well, no, they have to sign in. It's like, have you ever worked on a plant floor before?
I mean,
good luck with that. Good luck at going down there, see how that works out for you.
Well, you know, now you're speaking something near and dear to my heart, where I think right. from an IT perspective, if your role and goal is to help secure and protect what's going on in your manufacturing environment, specifically around your control systems, is you're going to have to spend some time working in your plants. And I don't mean a simple one-day visit. I'm talking about working there, you know, work through a startup. Work through a shutdown, right? Work through a new packaging line coming in to the plant from front to back, from the feed study all the way through to the startup and getting it operating. You know, there has to be some accountability, because one, that's how you get the OT folks to trust you. Two, the other thing you're going to learn is you're going to learn who their partners are they work with. Who are the SIs? Who are the OEMs? Who's the automation technology vendors that they're involved with? You have to become part of it, right? Think globally, act locally. You hear us say that a lot. And for IT that's managing 30 sites, 40 sites, 50 sites, whatever it is, and maybe there's a couple of them scattered around, that's great. But no, normally their focus is on the business system side of that, the carpeted side of that plant, not necessarily the concrete section of the plant. I mean, that's why when it comes to zero trust, it's got a lot of challenges to be able to implement something like that in that space. So that's what we would say about zero trust when it comes to OT.
Yeah. So I think just from a time standpoint, I mean, we went through the what I consider two of the biggest ones, the networking and identity. There's device and data, but, you know, just kind of wrap up thoughts from my side. I want to say, okay, first of all, zero trust. I mean, you hear us knocking on it. We're not knocking on zero trust. The concept's great, but it's a concept when it comes to applying it down to OT. If you take zero trust as it is the framework that exists in IT and force that down to OT, you won't be successful. You might think that you're successful and have the belief that you're doing that, but from what we've seen, it just doesn't work unless you're in and involved in that plant floor, in that bucket. So that's why I like the bucket and the Superfly bucket, right? But you need to understand that bucket, because every bucket's different inside there, right? So if you can do that and then say, okay, what makes sense in this environment and work together with the OT. So that's what I would say. And if you need help figuring out what's in that bucket or how do you look in the bucket, that's what we do all day long. We're constantly looking in these buckets, and we can get you. We've worked with some clients that we get them started right here. They go, hey, I mean, we're doing that right now, right? Global company. They got 120 buckets, something like that. And we're saying, hey, let's just start with the one bucket. Let's start with the one bucket. And then you guys, you know, we'll show you how to go through that bucket, how to figure out what's in that bucket and what your options are to address what's in that bucket. And then you can decide how fast or slow, depending on what the business drivers are, to move forward. How much do you want to rely on this? We can help you from this much to, you know, from cradle to grave. We can, you know, whatever that may be, whatever makes sense for the organization. But since this is such, you know, such an exploding space, it's very hard for companies to have the resources and the knowledge in the space that we do, because that's all we do all day long. Look in those buckets and figure out how to get the stuff out of the big mess of buckets into safe buckets. And that's what we do. So zero trust, you know, for my IT friends, start thinking about the OT side. We can help you there. The OT guys, if you're trying to figure out how to look in your own buckets, you know, we can help you there. Zero trust, great concept, great framework. But I also want to remind my OT guys and my or IT guys, well, it's a great framework. The Purdue model is a great framework for the OT side. And they don't even have that fully deployed yet in most cases. So coming with the zero trust framework, you know, on top of that, it's a different pace. So yeah. Dina, I'll kind of toss it back to you, the bucket back to you.
So talking about buckets, the funding buckets, you have to think of the funding coming from different areas within your organization. And it's really important. And what we've seen and what we've influenced and worked with is helping the IT team with the key stakeholders on the OT side, right? Bringing the executives, and I'm talking plant managers, I'm talking about engineering teams, operations management executives. You want them to be part of this discussion, one, because they can help fund this, right? You can't do it all by yourself. There's just no way, and you're not going to want to. You need to get their involvement, right? You have to get them involved not only to help you fund it, to provide resources, strategy, whether you're going to do the, build your own practice within the environment, or you're going to leverage organizations like ours to help you get started, and or to help manage that practice for some period of time. So don't try to go alone on this as an IT executive, IT team, to try to pull this off. You will fail. I am telling you right now, you will fail if you don't get the buy-in from your OT counterparts and get them on board and say, I want to be a part of this. I see the value in it. You know, we had a conversation today, and the first question from some of these OT folks is, gosh, I need to start talking about my resources. Who on my team at the plant level needs to own this stuff? Who's going to handle my events and my alerts? They're not IT events and alerts. They're OT
events
and alerts. And so it's relevant for them to know that they have some culpability, accountability, and responsibility on this, and to help fund it. So
Keep that in mind. You know, hey, I want to use the bucket play one more time, because I don't go it alone. Don't go in there alone, because if you spill that bucket, you're never going to be allowed to have a bucket conversation again, right? Yeah. That plant goes down and you break stuff, they're just going to go, no, we're done with you.
Yeah. We're going to keep producing. Some of you have lived through that. Some of you have. I know that you have. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. So yeah, you don't want to spill the bucket and not be asked back.
Yep. And you want to do it right, because you get the one shot at it. And if you knock that bucket over, you're not going to be able asked to come back, and you're never going to get it done. So, you know, get that first one and keep rolling it out. Yeah. Well, I think that's all the time we have here slated. We're getting the thumbs up, wrap up,
the hook
gone. Yeah.
We're getting the zero trust bucket hook.
Yeah. The zero trust bucket hook, which is moving quickly towards our beer o'clock hook. But thanks for tuning in and listening today.
Yep.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Industrial Cybersecurity Insider Podcast. To stay up to date with our latest episodes, be sure to click the follow or subscribe button now. And if you found this podcast helpful or have a topic you'd like us to cover, please leave us a review or let us know. If you're interested in learning more about Velta technology and how you can get safer sooner, visit veltatech.com. That's VeltaTech.com. Thanks again for listening. See you next time.